In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's sermon text comes again from our Old Testament lesson, the story of Jeremiah. Well read, Jim. Jeremiah was the great last prophet of the southern kingdom of Judah before Judah's genocide, before its destruction. He's known by several titles, the weeping prophet, because the book of Lamentation is attributed to him, the true prophet, because he spoke God's truth in the face of some of the most daunting and horrific circumstances in generations of salvation history. He's called the first prophet because of his famous and beautiful Paul story. Do you know the Paul story of Jeremiah? It's Jesus' child, 12 or 13, God calls him to be a prophet. He argues with God, he says, I can't, I'm too young. God says, don't say you're too young. You can do it because I am with you. He says the same thing when Isaiah was called, he argued he was too unclean, he said, I'm with you. When Moses argued, he said, I can't talk well, I'm with you. When Mary was afraid, he said, don't worry, I am with you. That's what he said to Jeremiah. What a beautiful call story. Did you know that we all have a call story? What is your call story? Do you know that our call story is no less beautiful than Jeremiah? We all have one. It's called baptism. When we're baptized, we are claimed as God's own forever, and we're set apart in a way we're consecrated. That's a beautiful phrase. We consecrate the Jesus. We consecrate the self. We consecrate the business. What does that mean? When we consecrate something, we set it aside for special holy use. And when we're baptized, no matter how imperfect selves are set aside to serve and to love and to enjoy and to obey God forever. What a beautiful thing. And the promise is this, that no matter what the circumstances of life, and this, life isn't fair. Life isn't, it varies from person to person, generation to generation, no matter what. Nevertheless, the purpose that we have in life, the meaning of life of that kind of person, is the fact that we can be faithful to God and love him and enjoy him forever. And that was the story of Jeremiah. He lived in the most difficult of times. There was no way situation as far as the circumstances for Jeremiah, but he was set aside for holy deeds. And he embodied that old cliche that I love. Before we're ever called to be successful, we're called to be faithful. And he was faithful. Let me just offer 120 seconds of view of 1500 years to place Jeremiah in context. So all the way up many, many centuries, and you have Abraham and Sarah. And God says to Abraham and Sarah, I will make you the sons of great nations. I will hold that nation in the hollow of my hand, and I will do a great work to that nation. And you will be mine forever. And then that promise was handed down to his son Isaac, who was married to Rebecca, remember? And then that promise was handed down to Jacob. And Jacob gave his kings to Israel. And then Jacob had 12 sons that became the 12 families, the 12 tribes of Israel. And they grew and they prospered. But then they were enslaved in Egypt for 400 years. And they were delivered by hand of Moses. And they walked through the Red Sea. God ran out of time to get the Ten Commandments. Wandering the wilderness for 4 years. Moses died on Mount Pisgah. Joshua leads them not through the Red Sea, but through the River Jordan, which parts like the Red Sea, to the land that was once given all the way to Abraham and Sarah, promised to them. That's called the Promised Land. How about that? Then, the loosely federated family tribe of Israel was just like your family and mine. They're dysfunctional. They never got along. They fought with one another. Now when a foreign power came or some danger came, there would be a leader that would rise up. We call them judges. So the book of Judges has the story of Gideon and Samson and Deborah and Samuel and many others who would rise up. But the 12 families would never could get it together. And this is kind of a monarch. After Saul, King David came. Possibly because of David's charisma, luck, might, skill, and faith, whatever combination. He brought for the first time those 12 families together. And for just the first time, they tasted a little bit of the prestige of being a nation, the might of being a nation, the independence of being a nation. But it wasn't long lived. his son, after David's son Solomon died, King Solomon died, they entered the Civil War. And that's like the American Civil War. It was the North and the South. 10 of the tribes remained in the North, 2 in the South, the holy city of Jerusalem. And then the sad part of history came in 721, the great Assyrian superpower, the empire came, overtook in the most cruel way the 10 tribes. And they deported the people to person in a manner still long. We refer to this in this case, the 10 lost tribes of Israel. And only 2 cowering in the south, 2 that Benjamin, to call the land Judah, and surround the holy city of Jerusalem. And the problem was that the macaroni noodle, little tiny then imitated the superpower of Egypt, and then the Assyrians, then the Babylonians overtook the Assyrians. And that's what we come today to Jeremiah. At any moment, the Babylonian Empire would come and count on little Judah to annihilate him. And they were scared of it. Whatever happened to that promise given to Abraham the many centuries before? So they don't feel much like a special people, chosen race, royal priesthood. No. And so Jeremiah was a prophet of God to say to the people basically, you know what? It's going to happen. We're going to bow and yoke to the Babylonians. So you can do this. You can do what you can. But you can also just be faithful. You have to be true to who we are. People come last in our religious life. You come last in who we are in Yahweh. And that was his message. But as far as our political situation, Jeremiah is not to be free. We will encounter the Babylonians. People don't like hearing that. There was another missionary gospel, nothing today, Hananiah, another prophet. Well, I'm a false prophet. But he said what people wanted to say. He said, no, we don't get the gospel fast. It's not going to happen. We're going to be independent just like we were in the time of King David. It's going to be over. I think it would have voted for Hananiah. But he was wrong. And he was a dramatic singing and Sunday school kids love to act this out. Jeremiah put an oxen yoke around his neck to be dramatic. He said, this is what's going to happen. He bowed to the yoke of Babylon, and Hananiah ripped off of Jeremiah and broke it to pieces. Where we come today, the story that was read, is Jeremiah turns to Hananiah and says, may the word come true, Hananiah. But they're not. And Hananiah was not long lived. He ended up dying soon, and it was Jeremiah's problem because it did come true. They were attacked. The temple was destroyed. The walls were right there. The people were deported. And 70 years is another story. Yahweh brings them back. That's another term of another day. But right now, sadness, tragedy. Jeremiah is deported. And we don't know exactly what happened to him other than he was forcibly taken to Egypt. He ended up in the Western school to escape the deportations in Babylon, trying to go down to Egypt. And that was no battle. And then he disappeared from the pages of history. We don't know what happened to him. All we know is that man was faithful in the most difficult set of circumstances. He was involved in his culture, involved in his politics. He didn't put his head in the sand. But he knew and knew and knew who he was in Yahweh. And no matter what the circumstances, that is what gave him purpose in his identity. And sometimes I think that these prophecies don't make much sense to the time in which they're given. But only years later, we can look back as in our time. Every generation thinks their generation has it the worst. I looked at the news, mass shooting yesterday in Baltimore. The riots in France, the war in Ukraine, our own judicial insecurity, and our disregard for the truth in our own country, and then accept it to disregard the truth. Like, oh my God, we wanted to bury our head in the sand and put our hands over our faces. Jeremiah would say, no, don't do that. You vote, you become involved in your politics, in your culture, and all these things. But before any of that, you are set aside for holy duty. Do not neglect your thankfulness to God. And for Christians, we believe that promise that came to Abraham. I will do a great work for your nation, the work of Jesus Christ. And we have his living presence and his teaching with us to this day. So no matter how daunting our world is, and it is very daunting, we know who we are. And may we heed the words of Jeremiah so that we can be faithful no matter what we face in this world. And that gives us purpose, and that gives us value, who we are in God. And what we do it as individuals, what we do it every day, what the Eucharist does, what the Genesis, what this community does,
perfect reminder who we are in God. It encourages us that we are baptized, we have a call for it, and we are set aside for holy use to love God, enjoy God, obey God, to serve God. Amen.